present.
All right, well then I'll have that one. Thank you.
And there is a shelf under here.
I'm under commands from my wife to drink water. Probably all of you know about my escapades down in Fargo. How many did I share that with? Oh, did you, Brent, you've never heard the story? Oh, how sad. Well, I was in the pulpit and they gave me three sessions, and I was halfway through the second session when I began to get all wobbly. And I thought, it got worse and worse. I thought, am I going to die? But I didn't, of course. But I ended up on the floor. The ambulance was called and carted me off to hospital. So the ambulance, that cost $1,300 just for the ambulance, just for the joyride. The other situation was that at the hospital, that was very good. They charged, I think it was about $3,700, something like that. So it was a tidy old sum. And the problem was I didn't have an insurance. I do have now. I do have now. And so I thought, I sent the checks in for both of those things. And I said, well, this is nothing. I mean, I'm not going to get anything. Ron McLean said, no. He said, Barney, you need to apply for whatever it is you apply for. And so I started filling in these forms, and they were so tedious. And so I said to Jeanette, I said, I can't stand this. I said, it's not going to be worth it. Ron got on the phone again and said, have you done anything about that? Those? And I said, no, not really, Ron. He said, well, I think you should. Anyhow, a few months ago, this is what happened. There was a phone call on the Monday from a lady. I thought she said $250. I thought, well, that's nothing to be sniffed at. Jeanette said the same, because we're married and we say these things together. And so the next day, there came the envelope. And when I opened it, it came to $6,500 or somewhere about that figure. And I thought, well, God, you are a very good God. And maybe there was also someone who read all the list of the things that I went through that day who may have sort of popped it up a bit as well. God has his little helpers. And so I'm very grateful to the Lord for that and so on. Do you know what the problem was? Dehydration. And so Jeanette is on. The first thing, she didn't say, I love you, yesterday. She did say that later, but she said, are you drinking it all up? And I said, actually, honey, I've just bought a bottle of water at the airport, and so I could truthfully say yes. I breathed a sigh of relief that I got it done before then. Anyhow. I want to share something this morning with you. It's something that happened. Where are we here? This is not the same as the Hebridean revival, but it's linked with it in another area. And Duncan Campbell was sharing this story. This was on a Saturday night in some big meeting that was going on. And so he was preaching on ascending the hill of the Lord. He told the congregation of an amazing event that occurred the previous evening. A bus that was filled with students and older folk as well was startled by what was happening with its driver. The fact was, the driver was in the dealings of God and started pleading with God to show him mercy. He became deeply aware of his own sin. Soon he started weeping. Knowing that he was unable to continue, he turned to his passengers and informed them that he could not go any further and drew the bus into the side of the road. Not long after this, passengers also started weeping. That night, almost all the people on that bus got saved, including five students. The bus was due to arrive at its destination at 8 p.m. It turned up at 1 a.m. in the morning. Duncan Campbell also mentioned the valedictory of one of the Scottish faith mission lassies who was being sent out. And she said this, "I have very little to offer my loving Redeemer, but what I have, God has it all." You know, a fellow called Arthur Burt said this, "It is amazing to see how God does much with little, most with least, and everything with nothing." That whole movement at that time, you didn't touch the ark. Didn't touch the ark. The ark belongs to God. And all the way through, God did it. God did it. God did it. God did it. That's how they saw it. And God really did do it. On that bus that night, that must have been a shock for a few people who got on that bus to start with and ended up with some wonderful stuff there. Let me just say a little thing too about young people. I'm very concerned about where we are at. I sat with Aaron and Leighton last night and we talked about this. It's something is happening that if we don't do something about it, let me put it this way, we have to, us older ones, don't mess up with the scriptures, but we have to find ways that open the door to young people. Yes. And here's a church of 2,400 people having on a Sunday three services, and this actually happened just a few weeks ago. Lydia, a 13-year-old, our granddaughter in England, she preached to about between 700 and 800 people for 10 minutes. I've got the photograph to show her on the platform. And she has a beautiful singing voice. But she suffered, and still does, but used to be much worse, dyslexia. And here she is. And the message was this, it had to do being a worshipper of God. And she preached on that for 10 minutes. That church, I so love that church. It's weird to me. But they did some recording of 12 songs. And every one of those songs, never mind all of the other stuff that went along, every one of those songs was Christ-centered. And I sat there in the armchair and I said to myself, when I speak to myself, and you're not allowed to do this, I say, "Coombsy, you've got nothing to say." Because it was so beautiful. The songs, the lyrics were just so solid, biblical, and so on. Now, so I've asked a couple here, that is Ray and Jen, if they will come up here. They're going to use my Bible so that we can all be together in this. And so I don't know who's going first, but basically it's verse 19 down to 21. All right? 19. That's it. Very good. Oh, yes, we need a microphone. There you are.
So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel."
Thank you. And then John 16 and verse 12. There we are.
"I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you.
Well done. Bless you. Very good. Very good. Yes. Very good. You know what? We need to do more of this. I don't know to what measure as a church we do this, but if we don't make room for young people, basically we're finished because we're all getting old. I mean, it's amazing how many elderly people are around, which isn't being balanced out by young people. And what they do is they go to another church. And it's because there's life there, but they're included. You see, that church of 2,400, they have all sorts of ways of including people. And you imagine a 13-year-old standing in a pulpit and sharing. And Jeremy and Rachel said she shared beautifully. Now they may be biased, and certainly his granddad was biased, and I didn't hear what she actually said. I just saw this picture. But it was enough for me. And to know that, we've got to. And if we don't, you remember, what did Jesus say? The disciples got it all wrong. The disciples said, shoo, shoo, shoo. Jesus rebuked them. A rebuke is, stop that. Yeah. That's a rebuke. For such, let them come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And we need to have that attitude. Let them make mistakes. When I was a young pastor, I can't believe the mistakes I made. I cringe sometimes if I remember them. Seriously. And, you know, there was one fellow who, he was young, he just got saved. Brethren Assembly. And I forget the name of the fellow. He's a very famous, J.N. Darby. It just came from me. J.N. Darby was a senior Plymouth Brethren. And so this young man was praying. And J.N. Darby was saying, amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. All the way through. Afterwards, they took J.N. aside and they said, how could you say amen like that? And so many times. Oh, he said, I wasn't saying amen to what he was saying. I was saying amen to what he meant to say. If we don't have something like that, you know, some people, they are jumped on because they make a little mistake, sometimes big mistakes. But Jesus, when you think about the tenderness of Jesus and the way he handled Zacchaeus. You mean, it's so many things about who Jesus was. We need to copy Jesus. Amen. And how he did things and how he handled the woman who was taken in adultery. I mean, for instance, the woman at the well, gentle. Amen. So here's what I want to share on. John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. Notice this, the Son can do nothing of himself. It's very important where we're going this morning to keep that in remembrance. Now, whenever you come across truly, truly in the scriptures, it means that truly is at one level, but truly, truly is big. And so here is Jesus when he says this, and it's from his lips. And when he does, this is something, it's a pronouncement that is very, very important that we take heed. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes on him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Now, there's a story behind this. It's had to do with my dad. My dad was a heavy drinker. He was in the First World War, met my wife, my mother in Ireland. They got married, and my mum wasn't walking with the Lord either. And they moved back to England. And my mum was one day, she did it more than once, but standing outside the pub, Sid was in the pub, and she prayed this prayer: God, if there is one, would you stop my husband, my hubby actually was the term she used, from drinking all this stuff? And so about 2 weeks later, my dad said this. He said, Kitty, why don't we go to church today? And so, and Rebecca, that's my sister, my eldest one in the family and the only girl, Rebecca, she was in a pushchair or a pram. And so they pushed that pushchair all the way through Whitstable, all the way through Tankerton, all the way through whatever the other ones were. And they ended up at an Anglican church. And I'm so grateful. I think actually Leighton and I were together. We saw that grave, didn't we? And I choked up, didn't I? And we thank God for that godly man. My parents, so they attended that church. And they did it for some while. And then one day they weren't there. So the minister, he went and got on his bicycle on the Monday. And he went to see my dad and mum. And he sat with my father. And he said to my father, he said, Sid, he said, what would happen if you died tonight? And my dad said, oh, I know what would happen to me. He said, I've been too wicked. I would never be accepted. And so that was just the door the vicar wanted. And so he said to my dad, read that. So my dad read it through again. And then he said to him, well, tell me, Sid, when do you get eternal life? And my dad looked at it and he said, well, when he believes. And so that's the next step is, so Sid, do you believe that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth? My dad said, yes, I do. Do you believe that he took our sins when he died on Calvary's cross? Yes, my dad said. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Yes, my dad said. So the vicar says, so Sid, what do you have? And it was like the light shone in. He said, eternal life. Eternal life. My dad took off like an eagle soaring in the sky. Our house had all these texts then planted in the window. I mean, we're talking upstairs and downstairs. He would also, used to take me with him, and I'm grateful for this. Well, I was just a kid of about 8 years of age. He would take me when he went preaching, started getting me to read the scriptures, what we've just done now, and other things as well. I'm grateful. They made me a little banner, a text, you know. And my dad used to be, he would on his bicycle go up to one of the big race courses, and there was a guy there who was he had feathers all come out of his head and that, when he was very famous. Honolulu, I think his name was. And my dad would stand right as near to him as possible with his megaphone, and the Honolulu would say, I've got a horse. And my dad would say, and I've got a savior. I mean, that was my dad. three times a week. This is midweek. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, my dad would be out there in the streets. And if he wasn't preaching on a Sunday night, he would be out there again. And that was at all times, whatever the weather, he and my brother-in-law Ron, they served the Lord. So I have a wonderful heritage in my father and my mother. And so going on here, Jesus said, truly, truly, again another two trulies, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to also have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. And that Jesus loved to call himself the Son of Man. The Father, the God, the Son, and the Son of Man. Let me say something about the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this, I have many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them now. When the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it unto you. That's a powerful thing there. Here you have the Holy Spirit. There's a change taking place. Jesus is preparing to go to Calvary not many days after this. And here's the Holy Spirit come to, and Jesus said, it's important for you that I go away, because if I don't, the counselor, the comforter will not come, or the helper will not come. And so that was very, very important. That comforter is still with us today. That comforter is with us in this congregation here this morning. And he's still doing a wonderful, wonderful work. He would have been involved in any case with my father coming to salvation, because that's the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. He leads people to Christ. He glorifies Jesus and still does. In Christ's priestly prayer in John 17, we read, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. For what purpose? That the Son may glorify you. Isn't that lovely? And so he went on to say, I have glorified you on earth, and having accomplished the work you gave me to do. That came out this morning. I think it was to do with Ray and the work that has done in the past and the work he's going to do. Here it is that Jesus could say to his Father, I've accomplished the work. On the cross, he said, it is finished. What was finished? The work his Father gave him to do, which had to do with redemption, and all sorts of wonderful things, the teachings that we know about. So Matthew chapter 27 and verse 49, and it was about the sixth hour, the scripture says, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? That is, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? We don't understand that mystery, or we know it was said. We don't know the pain of the Father when he had to do that. I know there are those today who are liberals who don't believe that God wouldn't do anything like that. Oh yes, he did. He turned his face away from his beloved Son. Why? Because on that cross, in that body, he was made sin for us. And that's why God turned his face away. John's account says this. When he received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. In Matthew's account, we read, "And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Notice that, from top to bottom. Man was not involved in this. God did it. God rent that curtain. Why? Because he loves the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so here we have it. So that's the first thing. The temple being torn in two. That basically was saying it's open. The law... And I believe the law is very important. The New Testament says it very clearly. But there was something about the law of the old that wasn't in the old of the new. Something was there. And so we see that here. Another thing, the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, not before. They went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Now, Jesus meets the disciples in the upper room. And the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. So now they are having a visit from Jesus. And they were terrified. And so he immediately says to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Apostolic. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That is for every one of us here. That's every one of us here. You know, with a lovely song we used to sing, "Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou dost do." Now, here, I'm finalizing here, and it's for me, it's quite powerful. Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came and said to them all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Sometimes we miss out that. It's heaven. Something happened where the Father stepped back and Jesus is now having all that authority. And it's all authority in heaven and on earth given to him. This is a dramatic moment. Up to this time, as far as I can see, there was no authority for Jesus in heaven. I'm sure there was things there that were beautiful and that, but I've looked carefully, and I'm sure there may be some places, but I've not found it. You have the Father stepping back, and I think I can prove that and show it to you in a moment. And so here is Jesus, all authority in heaven and on earth, all authority in our lives. All authority in the church. All authority concerning Muslims. All authority with evil that's there. God, and there's a day coming when the glory of the Lord will fill the whole earth as the waters cover the sea, and that will be Jesus right in the middle of it. He will come. And so, you have, as it goes on, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. For the last, I don't know how many years, it's a bit short of 2,000, but it's very close to that. Jesus has been in charge. Everything. Nothing happened that he didn't. In fact, in creation, there was nothing made that was made. Jesus made it all. And so, let's take Philippians 2, 5, verses 5 to 11. I have this mind in you, which was also yours, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself to be nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's interesting. His name is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Listen, in heaven. In heaven. It's consistent. In heaven and on earth. I'm nearly finished. Hebrews 7:23. It says he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. This wonderful, wonderful Lord Jesus is making intercession for you and me right now. I don't know how it happens. It's a mystery to me, but then we're human and we're not divine. But it's amazing. When we stop to think, he makes intercession for us. If you're going through trouble at this moment of time, you are especially being interceded for by the Lord Jesus. Now the final bit is this, 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, having after destroying every rule, every authority and power, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted, that is the Father, who put all things in subjection under him. And then it says this, when all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him, who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Just saying that first line again. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. That's very important that we understand that. And the Father, the Lord Jesus rather, finished the work to Calvary, but then ultimately finished the work because it was there was this after destroying every rule and every authority. That was Jesus doing that. And So we are, the future is safe in the Trinity. That's all I want to say this morning. They're doing a wonderful job. Just think of that. I mean, it's amazing. They are giving themselves to us. The Father is giving himself to us. The Son is giving himself to us. The Holy Spirit is giving himself to us. Our hearts should be full of praise and worship. Like Lydia said, her sermon, 10 minutes of why God was worshiping God. I pray this morning that we would be encouraged and strengthened in our faith. And thank you. Thank you for listening. And Lord, I just want to say to you too, the Lord bless you and keep you, every one of you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Isn't that better than the world's peace? It certainly is. God bless you.